there, and welcome to a mini episode of Words and Movies. I'm your co-host, Claude Call.
And I'm your other co-host, Sean Gallagher. And this is going to be an introduction episode to our Around the World series, where we're going to take a look at non-English language films and some English language films from countries other than the U.S. Now, I have to start this off with a painful confession. While I was never one of those folks who turned their nose up at black and white movies, partly because I was among the last generation of children whose parents had a black and white TV set, and also because my father showed us black and white movies growing up, so I was used to them. I was, however, one of those people who was not into watching movies with subtitles in them. In my defense, the first time and one of the few times that my father brought home a movie from the video store that had subtitles in it, which was the great Jean Renoir movie Grand Illusion, it was a bad print and the subtitles were hard to read, and I was probably 14 around that time, so not the most advanced thinking in my that stage of life. I, of course, did grow to, you know, be more open to movies with subtitles in them, probably thanks to watching the first two Godfather movies in college, where, as you may recall, a good chunk of both of those movies is done in Italian with English subtitles. And then early in my 20s, I decided to watch more non-English language films, deliberately choosing the first one, a movie that we're going to be covering in this series, Breathless, directed by the late Jean-Luc Godard. And ever since then, I've been trying to play catch-up. How about you, Claude? Did you have an antipathy towards subtitled movies growing up, or did you not?
I wouldn't say that specifically, but I will say that my love of films kind of blossomed later on, like as I got into my teens and early 20s. And I think it was just a matter of the opportunities weren't necessarily presenting themselves. I mean, I took some art of film courses and that kind of thing when I was in college, and that further enhanced my love of film. And some of those films were in fact subtitled. I don't think I was especially for or against them. I took them as they came along. My wife still has a little bit of an antipathy toward those kind of films, and it's got to be really, really good in order for her to stop complaining within the first few minutes. But I kind of dig them at this point, especially once I realized that, like, a lot of times when a film is dubbed rather than subtitled, you're not getting especially great translations.
Well, I was going to get to that. But that is not my primary reason for not liking dubbed movies, nor is it the fact that some dubbed movies, and obviously the stereotype is Asian kung fu movies, when they're dubbed, they basically look ridiculous, and not just kung fu movies, action movies as well, which was parodied by Woody Allen's gag dub of What's Up, Tiger Lily.
Yeah.
But I think
there's a reason for this, and we might have spoken about this once, like a long time ago, is because part of the issue that you have is languages tend to send across the same amount of data over a given period of time, okay? And so what happens is, because English is a little bit of a wordier language than, or rather, it's a more compact language because we speak a little bit faster and we can convey more meaning into individual words, we can say a lot of things faster than somebody in, say, Japan would, where it takes a little bit longer, or Germany, where you have very long words that have very short meanings, that kind of thing. And so what happens is, basically, people, when something gets dubbed into English, the English translator finishes his line before the person on screen is finished saying their line. And that's why sometimes they have to speak a little bit weird, or they have to throw in extra syllables, that kind of thing. And we've also seen this parody where you're watching a Japanese film and somebody has to end the sentence with ha just to make it fit. And I think that's part of the reason that these things look the way they do.
Well, that may be true. But again, that is not the main reason for my antipathy for dubbing.
No, I don't imagine it is.
That came about when I was living in Canada for a decade. Now, in case you're not aware, Canada is officially bilingual, English and French. And to drive the point home, even in provinces that are predominantly English-speaking, such as the one I lived in, Ontario, they have to have as part of their TV cable package, well, I take that back. Back when cable was still the only game in town, they had to have, as part of the cable package, at least two, if not three, French language stations included in the mix as well. I don't know if that's still true, because this is back in the 90s we're talking about. But they had a station there that would show American movies dubbed into French. And what I realized after trying to watch a couple of them is that the French actors, or I should say the Quebec French actors, because apparently Quebec French and France French are somewhat different, just as Spain Spanish and Mexico Spanish are also slightly different. But anyway, the Quebec French actors expressed emotion much differently than the American actors did, or even the British actors did if they were dubbing a British film. So you'd
In what way? This is interesting.
Well, you'd get someone giving this really passionately angry speech in an American film, and the French dubber would make it sound like someone had put milk in their coffee rather than cream.
Okay.
You know, it didn't rise to the same level of anger. And that was true with other emotions as well. And it really threw me when I was trying to watch them. So that's why basically I have a hard time with dubbed movies. And that's also true, or it was true for a while, I've struggled to get over this prejudice, of movies where a lot of the people are speaking the same language, and then you have that one actor who is actually not from the country and speaking their own language, who has to be dubbed into the same language as everyone else in the film. And I'm thinking of movies like The Leper, directed by Luchino Visconti, which has Burt Lancaster, who in the cut that was released to America, speaking in his natural American voice, but in the restored version where everyone else is speaking Italian, he's dubbed into Italian. And the effect the first time I was watching it was somewhat disconcerting, especially because Lancaster is such a familiar and distinctive actor with a distinctive voice. So it feels strange, to say the least, to have an Italian voice coming out of his mouth. less so in a movie by a director we're going to be talking about in an upcoming episode, Un Flic, directed by Jean-Pierre Melville, where Richard Crenna appears in a major role in the movie, and he's dubbed into French because he does not have the same level of distinction as an actor, or while he has a somewhat distinctive voice, it's not distinctive in the same way that Lancaster's is. The effect isn't quite as jarring, but it's still a little jarring. Now, I know that there are some countries, for example, in almost all Italian movies for a few decades, everything was dubbed in later, you know, because they didn't have live recording of sound and dialogue. You know, they basically shot it as a silent movie with people's mouths moving, and then did the post-synchronization dubbing in later. But again, dubbing is a problem for me.
Reasonable. I mean, yeah, it's reasonable.
Okay. So we in this Around the World series are going to be talking about 20 movies over 10 episodes from, I think, about 13 to 15 different countries. And there were a couple parameters that I set up for this. The first of them, primary one, is the fact that they all had to be available for streaming. You know, I have said before that the fact that everything is not available for streaming, contrary to what some people may advertise, and that is a big annoyance for me. But while I have occasionally picked movies to talk about on the show that are not available for streaming, but are pretty easily available to get as a DVD, when it comes to non-English language movies, it's not as easy to get them on DVD if they're out of print and they're not available for streaming. So some good movies had to go by the wayside here, that's all I'll say about that.
Okay.
The second parameter is that I wanted to talk about as many different countries as possible. You know, we could do a whole series on, say, the French New Wave or Italian Neorealists or both the classical Japanese cinema and the new wave Japanese cinema or any number of things. But I wanted to hit as many countries as possible.
And the fact is, we have spent some time with all of those, really.
Yeah, well, the Italian neorealists.
Yeah, not so much with those, but
not so much, but yes. But the point being, I wanted to cover a broad spectrum rather than a narrow one. And the final parameter that I set for myself was no Americans could be involved, which meant that that one movie I was seriously considering including, The Unbearable Lightness of Being, we'll have to save for another time, because that is directed by an American, co-written by an American, and one of the actors in it is American, although in a supporting role, and it's actually an American playing a Czechoslovakian, although he's not the only non-Czechoslovakian actor to pretend to be Czech in the movie, so I guess that's okay. But interestingly enough, in a few of these movies, we are still going to be talking about America, and as a matter of fact, one of the movies we'll be covering, State of Siege, will actually have non-American actors playing Americans. So make of that as you will. Anyway, we will be kicking it off, episode 51, with a look at two of Alfonso Cuarón's Mexican movies, Y Tu Mama Tambien and Roma. And we will be ending in Australia and New Zealand with Once Were Warriors, which is a New Zealand movie, and Rabbit Proof Fence. So we are going to be dealing with a couple of movies from Commonwealth nations, Canada, the UK, Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. But the Australian and New Zealand ones, I'll explain when we get to that. And the other two, because they tied in pretty well with non-English language movies that I wanted to talk about. So I hope that you will stick around for all these, because even though some of these movies are not very well known, although one movie we're going to be talking about in the next to last episode of this series is to date the only non-English language movie to win Best Picture at the Oscars. So at least it has that name recognition. And I hope you'll be interested in the issues that these movies bring up that we're going to bring up when we're talking about
them. And we promise not to judge you if you watch it dubbed. I won't anyway.
I plead Sean's
making
the
a face there. Yeah, because, well, my thing is, like, look, as long as you get in there and you enjoy it and appreciate it for what it is, you know, I'm on your side. That's
all. Okay.
So keep an eye out for those. That's going to be the next 10 episodes of this show, which means it's going to be 20, 30, a lot. It's going to be a lot going on there.
Yes, but stick around. You won't be sorry you did.